Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, if you were listening to the show just yesterday, you'd be well aware that we had a conversation with the chairman of HDI, Automotive Aftermarket Association Forum. Now, this is essentially an organization that looks after typically black-owned car workshops that do work to repair and maintain vehicles. Now, Silo Musai, who's the chairman of this organization, had raised some concerns that there's a particular restriction from financial services institutions who have the opportunity to make use of the multi-billion rand RT46 government tender. This is a tender that allows workshops in the local environment and businesses to essentially service and maintain vehicles that belong to government fleets, especially those that happen to be part of the police service. If you think about the police, typically that's one of the largest fleets that you can maintain. Everything from replacing windscreen wipers to the windscreen itself, changing of tires, and just ongoing servicing of the vehicle. We spoke to several players, and specifically Silo Musai, or the chairman of the HDI Automotive Aftermarket Association, and also had several calls, largely laying their concerns around being excluded by institutions like the likes of West Bank. Let's get a refresher of this conversation to fully comprehend and understand the listing of their frustration.
We have a lot of issues that emanated with our engagement with West Bank in particular, relating to their administration of the SAPS vehicles, regarding how they administer the contract in terms of how they suspend people willy-nilly. Secondly, how they don't just distribute work to the members of our associations, and our members close workshops as a result. And how the whole issue of transparency is not available in terms of communicating or showing us or giving us the information regarding the allocations, as we would want to know how the allocations are being done or where they're being distributed to.
Well, that was the voice note and a snippet of a conversation we had with Silo Musai, chairman of the HDI Automotive Aftermarket Association. While in true fashion to Kaya Biz and standing on editorial integrity and journalism, we have reached out to West Bank to give us a right of reply to help contextualize their views on this particular matter. Michael Naidu, CEO of Fleet Management and Leasing at West Bank, joins us now to offer some clarity on the back of this conversation. Michael, such a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Good evening, Gugu. And it's great to be on air, and good evening to the listeners as well.
Fantastic. It's great to speak to you, and we appreciate you coming forward to represent the institution to give us clarity. Quite a lot that's been listed there by Mr. Musai and the organization he represents. Transparency, suspension, the distribution of the contract. Maybe let's just start by getting further and a better understanding of West Bank's role as being one of the key leaders, distributors and participants of this RT46 government tender.
Thank you, Gugu. Gugu, we are a service provider for NDOT that actually administers the contracts on behalf of government. And our role in the contract is to ensure that we have a high rate of availability of vehicles on the road and to look after their maintenance, repairs, and accidents for all the vehicles that are part of the RT46. Part of this as well is to ensure that there's cost avoidance, because it's our taxpayers' money that is being used to pay for these vehicles. So it's critical that there's cost optimization or cost avoidance. And then also, not all the vehicles of government are part of the RT46. So it's important to note that there are certain government departments like SAPS and some of the end users that are part of this. EMS is also part of it. Mm-hmm. So not all government departments are part of the contract, but the ones that are on there, we are accountable to ensure that we maintain their vehicles and create this high availability on in terms of the different areas.
Got you. Michael, I'd just like to get clarity as to, as you say, not all vehicles, government vehicles, would be part of it. You mentioned SAPS and EMS would certainly be part of it. Are you able to share a number in terms of the quantum of the number of vehicles that do fall under this contract, specifically related to West Bank?
Sure. So the total number of vehicles that we have in terms of the RQ46, it's roughly about 116,000 vehicles. Mm-hmm. And that spreads over almost 320 end users across the country.
Got you. And I ask this because it obviously does speak to a very large market that the bank, through its allocation of this contract, is able then to expand and provide a market for vehicle repair workshops. What kind of relationship have you had with key players within the aftermarket automotive space, especially from a historically disadvantaged individual's point of view? In other words, black workshop owners.
So Google, there are several association bodies that West Bank team engages with. And this is done on an ongoing basis to firstly hear their issues and address where possible. I think the association leaders, and there's, I can name some of them, there's associations like SATA, the South African Technicians Association, there's APNA, the African Panel Beaters and Motor Mechanics Association. So we engage a lot with these associations, and I think it's equally their responsibility as well to ensure that some of their members uphold some of the standards of the service delivery. And that's why we engage them, because we are contracted to government to ensure the highest level of service delivery and ensure that these vehicles that are on the road, because police services and ambulance services, they are responsible for South African safety. And we've got to make sure that these vehicles are on the road to ensure that there's high availability in terms of these vehicles.
Are some of these suppliers not part of your enterprise development program? And if they are, does this automatically translate into them getting any work?
So there's a large amount of work that's distributed to the HDI members or merchants within the contract. And in terms of this, we've sit with probably about 6,500. It's supply and demand. It's based on the amount of work that comes through from each government department, and then that work is allocated to a respective competence within a certain area. So the contract is very specific around how you allocate work within a certain area, and the work goes to a specific competence as for that merchant. When they onboarded themselves onto the contract, they normally stipulate what competence, what their key competencies, and then our system will generate the allocation of that work to that specific merchant within that certain area. And if you take from since inception of the contract, there's been a massive amount of work that's been allocated to the respective merchants. And I'm talking specifically HDI now.
I'm glad you mentioned this, Michael, because I am keen to probe just a little further. One of the key concerns that was raised in yesterday's conversation is the fact that there's a lack of transparency in the form of distribution and even at times the suspension of work to HDI aftermarket automotive participants. Are you able to share more details here? How is it that you communicate with the merchants and is there clarity in terms of the levels of compliance they need to cover?
Absolutely. So there's a merchant agreement that's signed between the merchant and the bank, and it stipulates the rules and guidelines in terms of how a merchant can act in terms of the contract. This emanates from the contract of the RT46. These guidelines are in the RT46 contract. And when there's a transgression by a merchant, mm-hmm. then we as the bank, we act and we give the merchant notice to either remedy the transgression, if the transgression is around, say, a workshop that he's lost a specific skill or he's done something to a vehicle, we give the opportunity to the merchant to remedy the transgression. But when it comes to fraud and other issues, then we follow a suspension process.
How prevalent is fraud?
Fraud is very prevalent unfortunately, in this sort of type of work, because there's collusion, and so we have a zero tolerance for fraud, and we follow a very strict approach in terms of those merchants that are committing fraud or colluding with either government officials or bank officials, whoever they collude with in the industry.
I'm keen for you to give us a lot more detail, just for us who might not be privy to the sector. So if I need to repair tires or, I guess, service a police vehicle, are you able to contextualize a lot more detail around the fraud and how this would typically happen?
So I'll give you an example. For example, if you like a merchant, when he's investigated, say he's put in a wrong part or he claims he's put in a part, and then we have inspectors that inspect these vehicles to ensure that the high standard of work is done on the vehicle because we pay for it on behalf of government. And then when we realize that either the merchant has not disclosed the correct facts around the installation of certain components,
mm-hmm.
we send our investigators in. And through this, there's obviously an attempt to bribe the investigators to turn to look the other way. And I've recently arrested two candidates at international airport where they tried to bribe our investigators. So we have a complete team of investigators as well as inspectors that are able to give us on-the-ground insight around how the merchant performs. And if there's an issue, we are on top of it immediately.
Mm. Michael, we also received several calls and voice notes yesterday from individuals who have certified or rather confirmed that they are legitimate in terms of their operations. They work, they're well equipped, and even at times have been listed under enterprise development programs through institutions like West Bank. And they have come forward to raise concerns around gatekeeping. That there's a deliberate attempt to continue giving work to specific suppliers, and as a result, leaving those who are historically disadvantaged, i.e. black, are at the sidelines or the periphery of this. How do you respond to this?
So Google, it's about supply and demand. So and remember, this is a national contract, so these vehicles are spread across the country, and when there's a requirement by that specific government department, we will allocate the work to that respective area within a radius of 50 kilometers. So wherever the competent merchant is in place, we will allocate the work there. Now, just to give you a couple of stats, because I think it's important to look at stats. And on average, there's about 14,000 jobs. And I'm talking nationally here because it's important to contextualize the distance that we cover in terms of where the merchants are located as well as the government departments. So that on average, you're looking at about 14,000 jobs that are allocated per month to HDI merchants.
14,000 jobs per month?
To HDI merchants, allocated to HDI merchants. Since the inception of this contract, we have the value in terms of payout to HDI, and I'm talking specifically HDI, a 6 mm-hmm. billion rand over the last 3.5 years.
Got you.
So when it comes to conversations in the media that relate to certain difficulties in the RT 46 contract, and we acknowledge that notwithstanding the progress already made, there'll always be room for further improvement. But I just think it takes a collaborative effort amongst the banks, government, and industry, specifically industry and our merchants to work together here. But we report these numbers to government and on a quarterly basis, in forums with the Department of Transport, and they are fully aware of the efforts as well as the steps that are reported in terms of actual payouts because we bill government for that.
Got you. One last question that's just come through on our WhatsApp line, and I guess this goes back to a theme you referred to earlier, the supply and demand, but perhaps if you can give us more details as to how, as West Bank, do you ensure that there's equal distribution of work across the service providers, despite some of the restrictions that exist, such as the 50-kilometer radius or supply and demand dynamics that exist in the market?
So with regards to equal distribution, we have a system that works on a rotational basis, and the rotation is every 90 days. There's a rotation every 90 days because of the large number of merchants within our base. And unfortunately, the RT46 contract doesn't have a restriction on the number of merchants that can be onboarded. So it could be that we move from 6,500 to 10,000. And that's all that happens is the amount of work, firstly, is less to be divided amongst the number of merchants that you got.
Hmm.
So that's the challenge that we have. And what we try to do is to make sure that we work with the associations. And I found the remarks last night disturbing, because we work with the AAA on many occasions to resolve issues within this space.
Got you. Have you removed any suppliers from your database, given the, I guess, overflow? And are there any reasons why?
You actually can't remove suppliers as long as they are compliant and they're delivering in terms of the contract. So the only time you are removed if you have transgressed in any way and we've given you an opportunity and you haven't been able to remedy the position or situation, or alternatively if there's collusion or fraud against you, and then you'll be suspended and terminated.
Got you.
But there's a full process that's followed in order to give the merchant an opportunity to give his view and present his case to the bank.
Michael, to close off with, I know that you have to go and we're under pressure for time, but really appreciative of this conversation. I do want us to leave it off on a positive note in terms of access, negotiation, discussion for HDI aftermarket automotive players. Can they approach you? Can they have a conversation? I guess essentially we're looking for transparency and camaraderie here. Are there ways and means within which various associations can contact you with more questions?
Absolutely. We have a total open door policy to the association. And as I indicated earlier on, there's about 6 or 7 associations that we do deal with where the matters are heard and we listen, and where possible, we then see whatever the challenges are. But what's critical as well, I know we're running out of time, but what's critical here is skills development. And I think that's where we can all play a role in ensuring that we do the right thing for South Africa. We do the right thing for business and help some of these merchants that really want to make a difference. And I think also we're trying to encourage a lot of these merchants not to be solely reliant on the RT 46 and to open themselves up to normal business. Because the RT 46 is just so much, and it doesn't cover all the merchants if you're solely reliant on the RT 46 income.
Got you. Some might actually say, well, the skills development is there, Michael. That's why we actually have an overflow of HDI workshops. But you're quite right. What we do need to do is also broaden and expand the market. But we're definitely looking forward to more conversations between yourselves and the key stakeholders to ensure that there's clarity and opportunity that can be brought about from the RT 46. Thank you again for your time and taking out the moment to actually respond to some of the concerns that were raised on the show yesterday. Your time is truly appreciated.
Thank you, Guru, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to respond. Thank you and good evening.
Thank you. That's Michael Naidu, the CEO of Fleet Management and Leasing at WesBank, essentially responding to the concerns that were raised yesterday, where historically disadvantaged individuals, Black South Africans who operate within vehicle workshops, repair workshops, maintenance and service divisions, have raised concerns about being excluded from a government tender, the RT46, which allows institutions like WesBank and a few of its peers in the industry to ensure that this work is offered to smaller repair companies that are Black owned. And essentially, we gave Michael Naidu and WesBank an opportunity to respond to some of the concerns that were shared. It's, you make up your mind, right? There's obviously two sides to the story, different experiences that have been shared, their roles, rules and functions that are involved. There's a size of a market, there's opportunity for entrepreneurs, but also there's some concerns that have been highlighted in terms of irregular business practices such as fraud. And ultimately, it does take for these various parties, industry bodies and organizations to source solutions that work for them at the table. And making it free, fair and equitable is essentially the word that I was looking for. But these are ongoing conversations.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.